Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. This is episode 275. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Now, breast cancer, I mentioned this on a previous podcast a couple of months ago. Breast cancer is the most common cancer among women in the world, with more than 2 million new cases each year. Belgium has the highest rate of breast cancer in the world, followed by Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and France, just that northern part of Europe. The United States is 22nd on the list, and Canada is 23rd. And those statistics come from the World Cancer Research Fund. Our guest today rejected chemo and radiation when diagnosed in October of 2016 with breast cancer and started researching cannabis. And joining us from New Hampshire is Janie, who doesn't want us to use her last name, so we won't. Janie, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Now, take us back to the day in October 2016 when you had your mammogram. Tell us about that.
Well, when I you could tell that our technician kind of made a face and then left the room, came back in. So I was like, whoops, they found something. And when she came back in, she took some more pictures, went back out, and then asked that I stay and have an ultrasound. I stayed and had the ultrasound, which I could see it too, right on the ultrasound. It was a very tiny little spot, it looked like. And then the radiologist came in and told me I looked like I had a very little type cancer, and I should probably call my primary and make arrangements to have it biopsied. And he called my primary before I even got home and told her. I called 2 days later because I had to take it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she suggested I go down to lower part of New Hampshire, and they were taking forever to even give me an appointment. They wanted the mammogram disc. The hospital didn't send. It was just a large mix-up. And I'm sitting here thinking, get this out of me. I want this out. I want it out. And that's all I wanted. I just want to get it out. And so, of course, I'm ready to jump under the knife. Yep, just get it out of me. Do whatever you have to do. And I was a nurse and knew people that had breast cancer. And I did go to the doctors for chemo. I went to doctor visits for this. I just ended up not taking it in the end. At first, they told me I just needed radiation. Afterwards, I did have a lump. Oh, by the way, when I went to the doctors at the hospital up here, they didn't see everything that was on it. My family doctor, who I had just acquired, said, look, you're 3 hours from Boston. Why aren't you there? That's crazy. And I was feeling like, oh, it's going to just upset the whole family thing. You know, it's just going to be just a mess. And just do it here. And which probably wasn't a good idea. If it had been my kid, I would have been down there. So basically, when he said that to me, it kind of hit. He said, maybe I better call Boston. And I called Boston. And they gave me an appointment, and when I went down, they talked to the surgeon down there. I said, would you mind having another mammogram, because what I see is not the same as what they're seeing. She said, I think I see more. So I went and had the mammogram.
Just to interrupt you, Janie, that must have been a shock when the person said, I see more.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny, though? They don't ask you, I don't know, I find it funny. So when she said she thought she saw maybe more, she saw calcifications and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, in the interim, I have to tell you about my younger sister too, but because she had breast cancer. When I came back, she said, I think that the calcifications could be more. And again, nobody asked you, like, do you want, she said, so we'll schedule it for a lumpectomy. Okay. And then you go see an oncologist. I said, okay. But don't ask you what you want, any opinion of what you want. It was just kind of strange, but it was the same way at the other hospital. So now they scheduled, I had to wait a little while because that was in November. I saw the doctor in December. So it was January 31st. I did have surgery for a lumpectomy, and which went fine. but I ended up having a thing called coating from the lymph nodes.
What's that, coating?
Coating, C-O-R-D-I-N-G. Okay. And it's painful. It's just from, and I only had two lymph nodes removed because they were negative. I was fine from that. And then when I went to the oncologist, he said, well, you need to have radiation. Well, you know what? Now I'm going to go, oh, wait a minute. I said, well, what if I don't want radiation? Well, that's what you need to have. And I'm telling you, you need to have it. And I said, well, you know, this is right above my heart. I mean, this is located right above it. I said, there's a good chance they could hit my heart with some radiation. Well, they try to be careful. Well, that's cool. not for me. I said, whoa, okay. And I had a friend who had had lung cancer who had radiation and truly affected her heart. So, anyways, I said to him, how do you know I don't even need chemo? This is because I can tell. I said, but you didn't do any kind of testing. What about an oncotype? And he said, well, how do you know about that? I said, well, I've had time to research. And I said, maybe we should do something to find out if I really need anything, because that could come out telling you I need chemo. It could tell you I don't need anything. And he said, do you want it? Well, of course I do. So they sent it out. Called me back and said, quite a while. So in the interim of all this, I'm, you know, sitting here going, what am I going to do? So I did start researching cannabis during this time too. Mm-hmm. And then when they called me back and they floored me and said, don't do the radiation yet. You need chemo first. Well, I wanted to do either one of those. And I just had a feeling, a gut feeling I'd come out with something wrong. Like something in me kept saying, something's going to be wrong. And somebody said to me one day, and I kept looking at stuff about cannabis, and I did not find this radio show right away. And eventually I did. That's what did happen. And I just didn't look at anything on Facebook for cannabis type stuff. I don't know why, but I just researched a lot on cannabis. And I'm like, I know there's something that can help. I know there's a way somebody can help me with this. And somehow I came across Corey. I saw that. And I sent something to her. She got back to me. And then she kind of set me on to Jerry Ann. Yeah. And said she knew a lot about it, too. Well, what had happened was one night while I know I just jumped from the doctor's, but while I was looking on the cannabis site, somebody said you shouldn't be taking too much with too much THC. And of course I was doing high THC, but back to the doctors, I jump around. I'm terrible. Back to the doctor.
No, we'll straighten you out.
At the hospital. Okay. Yeah. Could you do that?
Okay. No, you're fine. I just, before you get to the doctors again, I just want to ask you a question. Did surgery get all your cancer? Did the doctor ever tell you that?
Nope. Nobody ever said a word about it.
Did you? And can I ask one question, Janie? I'm going to assume that this was a hormone-driven breast cancer.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I was positive, but I was HER2 negative.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, breast cancer is one is confusing to me, and Corey says some of it is very perplexing at times. Corey,
it is if you look them up. It's incredible. So many different kinds. So.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going, Janie.
Keep going, Janie.
Okay. Where was I? Back at the doctors. Now it's all echoing on me. The doctors basically said, you know, told me to do this. Now, in the meantime, they want to send me to the hospital that's closer to home to have all this done. We went up and saw a doctor up there. And actually, I was treated terribly, to be honest with you. I don't think he liked me because I asked a lot of questions. And he wanted me this is what you're going to do. You're going to have your chemo. This is what we're going to do for chemo. We're going to do this, this, this. And I said to him, the only thing I want to tell you about the chemo is I don't want one particular chemo. And it is on the list that you have there. I said, I prefer the first two if I'm going to have this chemo. And he said, why? And I said, because you could lose your hair permanently from that one. And somehow, I just don't want to really lose my hair permanently. And he looked at me like, you know, you're nuts, you know. So I said, so I would really prefer the other one. And I said, and I'm also, we happen to be going to Hawaii in a couple of weeks from then, which was a planned trip for a wedding type thing that was planned for you. And I said, can we wait till after I come back from Hawaii? Oh, no, it can't wait. Well, it had waited a lot of months already. What's two more weeks? So he wanted me to take it the week before I was going to Hawaii. Now I'm going to get on a plane and go to Hawaii. And I said on the way out, how long is it going to take for my hair to fall out? Oh, 4 days after you take the first treatment. And he wanted me to definitely have this treatment before I went to Hawaii. By the way, he was bowing because I went to the Boston Hospital down and how he was so honored to have us even think of him. Because he was, I guess he thought we should have went there first to begin with. Anyways, in the end of it all, I walked out, took the paperwork home, and threw it on top of my desk and didn't look at it. Talked to someone, and they said, why don't you pray to Mary and see what to do about this? And I said, you know what? I will. And I said, what am I supposed to do? And then I turned over, and I looked at the paperwork. He had prescribed the one chemo I said I did not want. And I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm definitely done. I'm definitely going cannabis. This is it. And that's when I decided to go cannabis. I got my cannabis card, which took a little bit of time, and then I started it. And I did do, I have an incredible tolerance. I did it. I could have done it in the many days, except that the cannabis prices in New Hampshire are outrageous. And you can only get 2 ounces every 10 days. Mm. So I did it all, and I have continued on. And I've still never been told, every time I go to have a mammogram or see the oncologist, nobody has ever said, well, you're cancer-free, huh? Never, ever was told that. And I'm like, wow, isn't that funny? And I believe it's because of the cannabis. And I didn't do what they wanted. So why would you tell me I'm cancer-free, you know?
Jenny, did they put pressure on you to have chemo?
Oh, yeah, the nurse is called, and she said, but the doctor said, and finally I said, you know what? The patient just said no.
Good for you. Good for you. Jenny, were you taking a high THC, or did you do a one-to-one ratio?
That's the thing. I went high THC all the way, and then happened to see when I was on the site there, and I said, oh no. I turned to my boyfriend, I said, oh no, I've done the wrong treatment. And he's like, stop, just stop. He said, it's been a couple of years right now.
Well, Jane, you know, this is such an evolving science, you know, and we're all, unfortunately, the guinea pigs with it. But I know that the latest and greatest info is indicating that with the THC pushing hormone-driven breast cancers, it's looking like it's in women who have already had chemotherapy, that's where we're seeing THC accelerate growth versus killing the cancer.
Well, that makes me feel better, too. Well, I'm telling you, I went into a panic. My stomach dropped just like when you first hear you get cancer. I went, oh, I just really messed it up. I messed up the whole thing. I turned and said, that's just how I was. I said, I just messed up. Oh, I don't believe I've done this to me. And he's like, wait a minute, but it's been a couple of years and you've been healthy. You're fine. You haven't had anything. And then the next thing you know, I'm keep reading on the site and somebody put up, why don't you get in touch with Jerry Ann? I sent her a message and she just totally calmed me. Whoa, slow down. She's like, no. You know something, you're brave, you did this, you're doing fine. We talked about different supplements, what you've done. She helped out a real lot just to bring me down. But what I want to tell you, what really helped me the most getting through this, because I didn't have a lot of, like, I didn't feel overly supported in this. My boyfriend was fine about it. He told me, you know, I have faith in you. Do it. Do what you think is the right thing. And I asked him today if you got cancer, and he has never touched a drug or any kind of anything in his life like that. if you got cancer, what would you do? He said, oh, I'd do what you did. Mm. And so he was good about it. But, you know, like when you tell somebody in your family, and I told my sister, my older sister, and I know out of love, she went, oh! First. And I said, wait. So it can be used as a medicine. She's like, I know that. Of course, she wanted me to go conventional. So I didn't feel like I had like a real lot of support. So what I would do is I listened to your show every day. Anytime I got a doubt in my mind, I put it on just to, and it got me through it to keep going. Because, you know, I don't have to listen to your show every day, by the way, because I feel very, very confident in it. Jerry and I listened to over and over again. There were certain ones that really touched me, too, and I would go back and listen to them, too. But it also just gave me the strength to know that, you know what, you're not the only one that's doing this. And, yeah. You know, they're getting through, and you're going to be fine. And I'm well over 3 years, so I think I'm going to be fine.
Yeah,
I don't have any problems.
Janie, we've interviewed people all over the world with various ailments, most of which are cancer. And those people who did not take chemo or radiation fared, correct me on this if I'm wrong, Corey, fared a little better than those who did. Is that right?
No, you're wrong. They fared.
I got it backwards.
People who don't do, who haven't done chemo, excuse me, or radiation do way better than those who, significantly better, because their bodies haven't been damaged by the chemo and radiation.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Thank you.
That was my biggest fear. What was I going to have left over? Was I going to have neuropathy? Was I, you know, going to have pop? You can have a million things. I did also want to mention, I got an added bonus, which is kind of funny. I started out with glaucoma in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started, you know, which wasn't legal in New Hampshire at the time. And I did. I started smoking. And it worked. And I figured out every time I went, exactly, if they said your pressure was up a little bit, okay, then I need to do this much more. And I figured it myself and did it for years that way. So that, gee, if it could help this, of course, you know, maybe it could help the rest of, you know, the other things here. So that's when I, you know, they had just started in New Hampshire too with making it legal. So that's why I got my card. Once I went to the doctor and said, gee, I had cancer. Can you get me a card? And he said, yeah, right away. But you have to wait 3 months after you meet a doctor for them to know you 3 months, and then they can send the paperwork in. Hmm. So it took some time. I started probably late. I don't think I started till like, the end of April, the beginning of May, taking it, but I'm fine, and I have no other, I do have other physical problems, but I want to tell you another added bonus, my eyesight. I had pretty, you know, I had to wear contact, I wore contacts and glasses. I would have worn bifocals, basically, mm-hmm. And my eyesight wasn't that great, but I used to sit in bed at night, and this is after I was taking the cannabis, and I'd be watching TV, and I thought, God, the screen's going blurry. Oh, no. And Joe panic here. It's gone to my eyes.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm Joe panic. I got a pain here. Oh. At first, I was terrible for a long time. I'm much better now. It took me a long time to everything that happened. Oh, no, I hope it's not that. But so eventually I went to the eye doctor. And what happened was my eyes were getting too better. My vision was getting better. So the eye doctor said, oh, you're getting older sometimes. That happens. And I said, it couldn't be the cannabis, could it? And she's like, no. Well, the next year I went back to the doctors. My eyesight's getting better. I don't wear glasses anymore, by the way.
Oh, great.
Good for you. Good for you.
Jeannie, how much cannabis are you taking a day?
Well, probably a lot. I have an extremely high tolerance. I have fibromyalgia, so I get nerve pain. Mm-hmm. So during the daytime, sativa type stuff, but at nighttime, I just take the oil at night, usually, unless I'm really hurting, if I have, you know, something I'm hurting from. But and I take a little bit over, definitely take over, what do you call it? I can't even think of rice, the size of rice. I questioned my cannabis oil because I make it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always afraid that maybe it's not strong, right? Made right, so maybe you better take a little extra. And so I always had, I never got high off of it to begin with. I'm not kidding. I could take it and not get high. It can lower my blood pressure though. Mm. And that I can, so I have to be, you know, if I took a lot, my blood pressure would go down probably low. I might feel like I was going to pass out. So I couldn't take too much at once.
Yeah. It's interesting that you don't get high.
Isn't it? Well, I think because I've done it my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I just don't. I can. I mean, but it has to be a lot. It's just so much. My son's, I have a son, and he's like that the same way too. And he just looks at me and smiles. I said, you're going to end up being like me, I think. I think we just have a high tolerance to it.
So you know, if somebody gave you a gram of oil to take, could you take the whole gram at once?
Yes.
Wow.
Definitely. I don't like the taste though. But so just recently I went to a new I changed. You get assigned, well, you can pick your dispensary, but you have to go to one dispensary in New Hampshire. So I picked a different dispensary because they had one that was closer to my home. And I went in last week for the first time, and much to my surprise, they had RSO because the other dispensary never had it. So I got some because I wanted to compare it to my RSO. And it's just about the same. So I said, you've been doing it right all along. I'm a self-doubter. That's what it is.
Jamie,
you know, I just doubt everything.
Yeah. Earlier
but
on.
I did it right.
Sorry to interrupt, but earlier on in the interview, you mentioned that your younger sister had breast cancer. What's that story about?
Well, it was my younger sister had told me even like a year before I was diagnosed. It was an odd thing to say. She said, "One boob's growing and one's not. Isn't that odd?" I said, "What? Sorry, it doesn't happen to somebody that's 40-something years old." No. And so I said, "That's no. You need to see a doctor." And of course, you know, family doesn't listen to you a lot. And I was a nurse, so I said to her, "You know, you need." But she didn't. And every once in a while, I would mention it. And then when it happened, when I found out, at first, the first day I found out, I didn't even talk to her. I didn't tell her the first day. I waited till the second day because, I don't know, something made me. I said, maybe I got this because I have to make sure that my sister's name is Mary, that Mary's going to be okay. I better call her. So I sat out in my car and I got on the phone because sometimes she's hot. You know, I don't want to, you know. I said, Mary, I want you to really listen to me strongly. You need to see a doctor, I said, because I have breast cancer and my boob didn't grow and get bigger and one smaller. I said, there's something wrong there. I said, which would tell me it's probably some kind of calcification stuff. You need to get done right away. I want you to call your doctor tomorrow. And she did listen and she did call and she did have it. And she was stage 3. She was HER2 positive and she had double mastectomy, which she chose to, because they could just do one. And then she went through her chemo. I believe she skipped radiation. And she's done. But she was told she's cancer-free. But I think you have to do that chemo and radiation to hear, you're cancer-free.
She wasn't open to doing the cannabis oil?
No, couldn't afford it. Just could not afford to do that. Now, I did talk to her about it and stuff, and she's like, she couldn't afford it. And so she went her way, and I went my way. You know, and so she did lose her teeth, though. She's had to get dentures now from the chemo.
She lost all her teeth from chemo?
Yes, yeah. They rotted out, I guess. She said her teeth all rotted out. I thought she had nice teeth before that. I don't see her that often. She doesn't live in the same state. But when I did see it, I never thought her teeth were bad. I never noticed that she had bad. I was like, you know, teeth.
No, I've heard of that happening before, Ian.
Yeah, wow. It's something that people don't talk about a lot. I mean,
no, it's just one of the side effects they fail to mention.
Yeah.
Just a little
small inconvenience. Don't worry about it.
You know, if people spend some time researching the downside of chemotherapy, they would realize, and some doctors have confirmed this, that it doesn't help 97% of the time. 97% of the time. And
I saw that in many places, you know, I did. That's why I was like, why would I? I don't want 3%. I want the 97% to tell me I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, they try to minimize the side effects by saying, oh, your hair may fall out, but they don't really explain other side effects and the downside of chemotherapy like I believe that they should. But, you know, conventional medicine... conventional medicine does a great job on trauma, but in trying to keep you healthy, in my view, I think they fail miserably in trying to keep us healthy, because they will deal with the symptoms, but they won't deal with or I shouldn't say they won't, they don't deal with a cure for what you have. And the beautiful thing about cannabis is it can get rid of that. I can't say cure because I'll get into trouble, but they'll get rid of the cause of your ailment. Various forms of cannabis will. And that's the beauty of it. And it you know, Janie, that it improved your eyesight. It does other things as well.
Isn't that funny? I think it's great. To me, almost, if God made this earth, he put it here on this earth for us for a reason. And I think it's to be used.
It's been stigmatized so much over the last 80 or 90 years that people believe that it is somehow an evil plant. But you know, that's starting to erode, and it will take some time for people to begin to accept it as a conventional treatment.
I know, because I'd like to substitute some medicines. I have a daughter that has disabilities. I'd like to substitute medicines with. No, I don't know that it would even have to be cannabis. Even CBD oil stuff, and because she's disabled and I have guardianship, I don't know if I could get in trouble for that. You know what I mean? Trying to. And it's difficult. That's what I was afraid of with cannabis stuff, even having cannabis in the house. I was so like, I have to have a card because I'll get in trouble for my daughter and I can't do this to her and everything. It's just, it's crazy because it's so helpful. So helpful. I do know people that get sick from smoking it. It can make them sick. I don't know why.
Do you smoke it, Jeannie?
I do not a real lot. I do. I do edibles sometimes during the day too, because that will help. I've had back surgeries. I have arthritis in my hands, feet, back. You know, shoulder blades and stuff. And it does. It helps. And of course, I don't get high from that because it's just a little amount. And if you just like keep doing it like throughout the day, take a little. You know, it's a 5 milligram thing. It doesn't. I mean, by the end of the day, I probably get about 300 milligrams of THC into myself somewhere, but I'm not high.
Janie, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am 64 now.
64.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were in your 60s when your breast cancer...
I was 61. I was right... That's what she said to me. You're in the right age group.
Oh, thank you very much.
I was so... Gee, I won the lottery, huh?
Yeah, that's right. But I find it fascinating that you rejected chemo and radiation, which was great. You took cannabis, which was great. But when you go back for scans, they don't tell you that you're cancer-free, do they?
No, they just tell me that my mammogram's clear. But nobody has ever said to me, you know, you're cancer-free. I'm like, you know, okay, whatever. I think that's also because the hospitals get, especially the Boston Hospital there, because it's a cancer hospital, they get federal help. And I don't think they can...
Yeah.
When they list my medications, when I used to, at first, when I'd say cannabis oil, and they'd go, oh, you mean CBD? And they'd write about CBD. I say, no, cannabis oil. It is not the CBD part. It is the I said, it's not. It's separate. I said, it has THC in it. And they'd, oh, okay. And they'd write it down, but they don't even speak of it. It's never, ever mentioned.
Yeah. It's interesting. Janie, any words of advice to people before we wrap this up?
I think it's something to be looking into. It's a medicine that can be used. Definitely a medicine, and it can help in a lot of ways. And if you can, I guess a lot. I mean, I'm not saying that I never got high before, because I can get high sometimes. But it would have to be. It has to be a large amount. So I don't try to anymore, because I'm using it as a medicine basically, and. I like to sleep good at night too. So that's why I take it at nighttime for the larger amount.
Yeah.
But for people, I would definitely, you got to look in. They give you plenty of time, I think, to look into other stuff. I mean, I had all this time in between to look and say, do I want to do this? Do I, you know, I looked into each chemo. I looked into every single and try to look in side effects there everywhere. And also this at the same time. And all I could come up with is, but I won't have those side effects. I might come out okay in the end. And I think I'd rather go this way because I also believe that a lot of times chemo can spread cancer. And that scares me. You know what I mean? I don't want to someplace. I don't have breast cancer, but it's in your liver now. And I also had an aunt that did that and did have chemo. And she died a few years back. And she fought cancer for 12 years, breast cancer for 12 years, basically. But it went to all other parts of her body. And I did try. She knew I was on this. I told her about this. But it was really coming towards the end of her time. And she was not, I said, you know, I will come down and I will bring it to you. I will, you know. And she said, no, she thought she was okay and she was ready to go. And she died a few months later.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Janie, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And keep up the good work.
Oh, one more thing. I want to thank you guys so much, though, for having this show. Really, really, really. Because I'm telling you, it did. It got me through. It did. You don't know how much. I just didn't feel like I had the support. So it's a very supportive program if people use it in that way, too.
No, it's very kind of you.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Janie. Take care.
Nice talking to you guys. Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Now, if you'd like to support us on Cannabis Health Radio, there's a few ways you can do that. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon page. And you can also make a one-time donation through our website, cannabishealthradio.com. And we encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a goal by the end of the summer. We hope to get 10,000 subscribers and keep growing it. And share that with others who you think may be interested. And we'd like to thank Mark in Belgium, who posts our podcast to YouTube. We'd also like to thank Ron Zahar, who generously donates his studio time and his time editing these podcasts. And also, there's another way you can help spread the word about our show. Write a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to our podcasts and share the podcasts on social media. You never know, you just might save a life. We're very grateful for your support. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.